praise. So I pray, worship God. For all he's done. God is great. God is good. Redeem me. And the redeemed says so. God is good. And because, yes, just because he's God. Say it again. And the redeemed of the Lord says so. For all he's done for me. Redeemed. Thank you, Lord. Because, amen, and because, and just because, and because, and just because he is worthy, is God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's worthy of your worship. He's worthy of your praises. He's worthy tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Listen, my friend, even if you don't do nothing for me, he's still God. Just because I will praise him and I will worship him just because. Even if he don't do anything else for me. Just enough to save me and set me free. That was just enough. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. It is an honor and a privilege to be in the house of the Lord with the redeemed, Father, with the purchase of your blood. Father, we just so thank you. You set us free. We were dead in sin. We were only deserving to death. But I thank you tonight, Father, that you came down and you took a form of a man and you died in that cross for me. Father, thank you for that blood, because without the blood it will be no redemption. Father, we thank you. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you. Maybe I know you don't get tired of hearing me saying thank you. Father, I don't care if I had to say thank you 100 times a day. It still is not enough to cover what you have done for me. Thank you for this little group. Thank you for those that are back healthy. Thank you for those that are still afflicted and sick. We still believing that you're still the same God. Father, nothing has changed. Yes, we go up and down, but you're still the same God. You're still the same God in the mountain. You're still the same God in the valley. Our situations, our circumstances still change. But we hold on to a God that never changes. That is where we anchor our faith, in an unchangeable God. Father, I'm so glad, because I don't know what I will do. But I'm so thankful tonight that your mercy and your grace has followed us. Father, we ask you to come down. And I don't know what we do ask to you to come down. You already came. You're already in us. You're already here. Your presence is here. Father, it's not like you're so far away. With 2 or 3 gathered together, you're here. In fact, we brought you in. And your presence is here, Father. And we do like the Son said, we humble ourselves. And we lift our hands. And we praise you. And we worship you, Father, for all the things you have done in our lives. And you are not done. All the things that you've done, that you're doing, and the things that you will do, we praise you, Father. Now, Father, take the rest of this service. Have your way. Feed us, Father. You know what we have need of tonight. Be with our brother pastor. Give him a good rest time. Father, he works so hard. He has to deal with a lot of things. I always said, you know, I don't want this position as a pastor. It's not easy with the things that they have to deal with spiritually and physically. Plus, they got to take care of their health and their families. Father, we ask a special touch for my brother, pastor. Quicken him, Lord. Strengthen him. Give him energy. Energize him, Lord. Father, because we need to pray for one another. We need to keep one another in prayer. We need to Father, we need each other. Father, we love you tonight, and we ask you to have your way. Give us what we have need. And we thank you, Father, from the bottom of our hearts. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen and amen. Oh, man, what a sweet spirit. Thank you, musicians. What a sweet spirit. You can be seated. Warm in here, too, huh? They probably cranked the heaters tonight or something. Or maybe I'm just warm. I don't know. But I just keep peeling off clothes like you peel an onion, layer by layer. I learned that. If you're going to dress for the cold, you put layers and layers. And you can always peel layers. And you can always put them back. So I don't feel like an onion, but I don't want to smell like an onion either. So it is good to be here tonight. And thank you for coming to a mid-week service. I know that this is the hard one during the week because we work, and we probably all of you work already today and you're tired. But I'm going to tell you that it doesn't matter how tired you are, and it doesn't matter how early you got to get up. Tomorrow morning, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. This is not just words. God will never let one of his words come back in vain. If you can rejoice tonight, if you can find joy, if you can set an atmosphere that you can rejoice in what the Lord has done, he said he will strengthen you. So don't worry how tired you are. Don't worry that you need to get up in the morning. Just rejoice tonight because he will strengthen you. And I know that's a fact. I've been there. I remember in the tabernacle. Tucson Tabernacle, when they had those meetings, the yearly meetings for a week. Oh, man. You know, Monday, you get home about 11 o'clock at night, sometime at 12. And that's just going. Then you get up in the morning, kids got to go to school, I got to go to work, you know. And then we work all day, I'm back to church again. Oh, man. By the midweek, we were just kind of dragging to church. I know how it goes. I did that many times. But the Lord will strengthen us. Amen. We rejoice. And I don't know where the strength came from me for every morning to get up, go to school, take the kids, and do what I had to do, come back and get dressed and get back to church again. I don't know, but we did it. I never worried that I could not do it. I just did it. Oh, you said, but you were younger, so you was more stronger. Yeah, well, don't depend on that, because sooner or later, all that goes away. That will not last you. You're young right now. That don't last too long. You think it will last too long. Before you know, you wonder, where does all those years went? And then where is your strength at now? You know, trust the Lord now in your youth. You know, let him have his way. You know, do be obedient and do. You know, the things that you ought to do. Don't wait until you get old. You know, like us, that we cannot move anymore to say, oh, the Lord is my strength. Listen, the Lord is your strength now. When you're young, you need him. You might don't think so, but I tell you what, begin, you know, in the early stages. Because the thing is, it's a discipline. So the way you are training yourself, the way you train yourself, that's the way they're going to go. So let's train them that they can depend on God and they can trust God from the very beginning. It doesn't matter how fast they run or how strong they are. They still need to trust the Lord. Because, you know, none of us are a match for the devil. So sooner or later, you know, it's going to be an encounter, young people. And you're going to figure out that you're going to need him. You're going to need him. Amen. I better stop preaching. I'm getting on my own. Let me open this technology here. Let's see. The first thing I need to do is find my... okay, I don't want the camera to open. So how is everybody feeling? Good? Amen. It is nice to see you guys. I've been under the weather for a little bit myself. Things are happening, and I don't know what's happening, and I cannot explain them, and I don't care to explain them. Really, I don't. Why am I going to worry myself about something that I can do nothing about it? Why? I cannot even add a statue or nothing to my, you know. Why should I worry? You know. So I just let God, you know, have his way and let him figure it out. Because I can't figure it out. I lost almost 20 pounds and I don't know why. And I'm not sick. That I know. And I'm not going to worry about it. Why should I worry? But that's what Satan wants. And that's 20 pounds more than I lost before that 20 pounds. So, what's going on? Well, my part is to believe God. His part is to worry about it. See, because whatever it is, it's going to be for my own benefit anyway. Well, here we go again. I better get to the preaching part here because I'm getting ahead of myself. Sorry, I'm just so, I don't know how to say, so passionate. I'm so excited. I'm so enthused about what God is doing. I've been, you know, meditating and studying the word and doing my devotionals. And I mean, I'm looking at things that, you know, they were there all the time, but now is the season. Now it's God is opening my eyes. And, you know, it's not a wonder, you know, that I made it this far because it's God all the way in my life. And now we can see and we recognize that it is him working in us. And we get so worried about things. Better get to preaching. Okay. I'm sorry. So I was meditating sometime this week and I came to this, what I call passages that I was having devotion on, and it was such a blessing to me that I want to share that with you guys. I want to help you some kind of way to uplift you and your faith, you know, to get grounded. I mean, we are living in such a terrible days. In fact, I don't have it in here, but would you put 2 Timothy 3:1 for me in the screen, because this is where we are. You want to know where you are? Here's where we are. The Bible said in the last days, I'm going to tell you, this is where you're living right now. No doubt about it. This is the last days. So you know what you're looking at. It says in the last days they shall come dangerous, terrible days. And we are on it right now. Sickness, diseases. You know, forget about the earthquakes and the volcanoes exploding. Forget about that part too. But you can throw it there. This is the end of the end. And then verse 2, for men shall be what? Lovers of their own self. See? Covetous, boasters, proud, blaspheming, blasphemers, disobedience to parents, children. That's, don't do that. Blasphemers to pray, unthankful, unholy. You know, I don't have time to go through all that and explain you what all those characteristics mean. It's about 18. We'll be here until next year. But so you need to read it and figure it out. Go and get your concordance and see what it's all that means. Without natural affections, that means man and a wife, they get married and then they don't love each other. They don't care about the kids. They got abortion. And they don't care about you or what happens to you. The self kind of center people that we are living in these days. They don't care about themselves. False accusers. See, they don't care. They did Jesus the same way. They accused him falsely. We are in the same situation now in the last days where people don't care what they had to do. I don't care if he had to destroy you for him to leave. You don't care. You don't mean nothing to them. It says incontinent fierce despiser of those that are good. Of course, they're going to reject you. Because that's what we stand for. For what is good. And God is good. And they don't like you. Listen, don't go out there and you think that the world is your friend. Don't try to even dismiss the fact that this is not happening. It is happening. You might deny it when you go out there and you think at school everybody's your friend and at work, but this is what's happening. When it comes down to who is who, they will choose themselves before they choose you because they don't care. They don't have no feelings for you. They're going to work with you, but they're not going to fall in love with you. They don't care. What they care is that they can go up, and if you have to step on you to go up, they do it. And you say, wow, what kind of a world you came from? Well, this is the world that I was before, and I'm still going, and it's getting stronger. That's the way it is. It says, traitors, mine, heady, high-minded, you know, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Jump to having a form of godliness. He's talking about even the religious people. But denying the power thereof, from such turn away. See, they have a form of religion, but they don't have the power to become that form. The form, I told you last time, the form is not bad. It's so close that the two forms are almost that close that you cannot even, if it wasn't, because God, we can be deceived. The form is so close. But the only difference, they don't have the power to become that form. So what happened? They preach it like you. They do it like you. They dance in the spirit. They do all these things. They have good services. There's healing. There's all kind of supernatural things happening. But when they walk out, the life testify that they don't believe none of that stuff. The life testify that they cannot be changed because they're still doing the things they do after they just, that's what iniquity is. They know what to do, but they can't do it. But see, you are not that way. We are not in that path. Can you jump to 7 then? Maybe 7 for me? Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge. No power. They will never know what you know. Because it takes the Holy Spirit. It takes the Holy Spirit to give you the understanding to tell you what God is, what he wants, and how he wants things. They can. They preach it, but they never understand it. And just let me see the last one, 2:8. The next one, too. Next, let me see the next one. Yeah, it's not going to get better. It's getting worse. Just give me the next one. I'm looking for when Paul... But now as Paul is saying to you, not to this, but the first 5, 6, 7 verses, that was a man that is self-centered, self-selfish, self-governor. He's self-ruling. He don't care about God. He don't care about authority. He just care about whatever he wants and how he wants to. See, there's another kind of people. He said, but they have fully known the doctrine. I'm so glad that God sent a prophet to call us and to open our eyes and to show you, you know, the doctrines, the right doctrines, not dogma, not ideas of men, but the right doctrines. That's why I'm glad what Brother Brown says, you know, when he went beyond the curtain of time and you know what happened there. And then they ask him, you know, he asked, is Brother Paul is going to be, you know, also judge? But praise the Lord, you know, I'm preaching the same doctrine he's preaching. So I'm okay. See, that's the doctrine that was, you know, given to us, manner of life, see, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. See, we know the life of Paul and how he lives. And now you and I, we are following the same example. Why? We have got a prophet. And he says, I preach what he preached. And you and I obey what he obeyed, what he did. So we know we are in the last days. And this is the other side of the coin. You know, people have to fulfill these scriptures. But people have to fulfill the other side of the scripture. So what side is that? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 12. I think it's 9 is in my notes, if you want to get to my notes. And in that day, what day is that? Again, we saw what's going on out there, chaos in the darkness. But in that day also, today, he says, thou shalt say, oh Lord, I will praise thee. Through thou was angry with me. And he says, thy anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. So in these days, there will be a group of people that God turns his anger away. We were children of wrath at one time, doing what the word shaped and more like the word, lying and doing all kind of things. But the Lord, I'm glad that it didn't end it there. I'm glad that the Lord came down and he saved me and he made me free. And he turned his anger around. He's not angry at you. He's not angry at me. Sometimes some of you think he's angry because the things you're going through. And sometimes you're wondering what's going on. Have I done something? Listen, God is not out there with a big stick waiting for you to make a false step or step away so he can, boom, just hit you right up the head. Listen, my friend, God is not angry at you. So don't come to church like you're angry. You know, God wants to comfort you according to the scripture. He's here to comfort you. That's why we come to church. That's why we read. That's why we do what we do. Because God don't want to destroy you. He wants to comfort you in the day of your afflictions, in the day of your situation. He wants to comfort you. He's not angry. I'm glad that he's not angry at me. The wrath of God, I don't want and don't desire that for anybody. But I'm glad that we don't have to worry about that anymore. We make mistakes, yes. Sometimes we do the wrong things. Sometimes we set the wrong choices. God is not mad at you. Just get up, run back to Papa. Because he's waiting for you to come back to him. Because he wants to love you. He wants to hug you. He wants to comfort you. But sometimes what we do, we run the other way. Don't run. As soon as you make a mistake, God, Papa is not mad. He's waiting for you. Make things right. And get back in the fellowship with God. Because that's what he wants. He wants fellowship with you. What day, in that day, shall we say, in that day, today, that's why we come to church. Because we got something to say. You know, we are not people that are grateful people. We come to church because we are grateful and we have something to say. And we don't have something to say just to say it. We don't go to pray just to hear flowery words going around. We don't do those things. We come because we have something in our hearts. Our hearts are full of his goodness. My heart is full of thankfulness, you know, that I cannot only but open my mouth, you know, and words comes out of my mouth. But listen, they're just not just words. It might sound like words, but it's thanking God. You know, it's not like sometimes, sometimes my grandchildren do something or they break something or they do something that they know that I don't like for them to do. And the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, sorry. But, you know, I know the kids, don't correct them because to give them a lecture, they're not going to understand what's sorry. But I say, okay, don't do it again. And then later on, sorry, I hear sorry, and I know that this. But I don't know what they learned that by saying sorry, it fixed everything. You know, we are not saying words when we come to church or when we do, sorry. Oh, sorry, no. No, we are sad and we are, we humble ourselves and we tell God sorry. But it's a heartfelt sorry. Sorry, Lord, I have no desire to do that. I'm sorry. Please help me. I don't want to do it again. A little child, he's still in training. They will learn sooner or later that just come and sorry, it's not going to make it. It's going to take a little bit more. We have something to say. But we don't just come to church and take it in things and we sing and we pray and we don't take it like a common. It don't become common to us. I hope it never become common. When you call to pray, when you call to sing, sing from all your heart. Leave your mind out of the door. Leave yourself out. Just bring and let do out of your heart, out of gratefulness. See? Because we have a lot to say about his goodness. We have a lot to say about what he has done for us. We have a lot to say. When we come to church, we have a lot that we can say about his goodness. And we need to start doing that. Some people think church is boring. Well, that's fine. I don't think it's boring. I think that we are bored with church, but church is not boring. You know, I believe that church is a place. The reason you're here and you sung the song is to praise the Lord first, to worship him, and to make love to him. Isn't that what you came to do? Because this is what we are. Now, after you do that, that is your part. You need to create an atmosphere. You need to pour out your heart. You need to create an atmosphere that when the word of God comes, he will meet all your needs. Amen. You don't sit in church and figure, but I'm here now, Lord, so do something. Well, you're going to be there a long time sitting. And you're going to leave being worse than when you came in. Because you have to pour out your heart. Not to me, not to the church, not to the pastor. You need to pour. That's why you came. Amen. Don't be so stiff and don't be so serious about it. I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it. And I'm not mean anything to anybody. Some of you sometimes don't even can clap when we are singing. I'm not thinking about anybody. Some of you that sometimes you come to church and sometimes you cannot even lift your hands. What did you came for if it wasn't to worship him and to give him glory and honor? He deserves all the glory. That's what we sung. So how can we come to church with that kind of a spirit? With the spirit of heaviness. See, we are so heavy at work and we are so heavy with the cares of the world. Then we come to church and we think, now I can't relax. Sorry. This is the wrong place for you to relax. Because the strength, you want strength? The joy of the Lord is your strength. You start worshiping God. You start lifting your hands. It's going to be a sacrifice. Yes, it's going to be a sacrifice. If it wasn't, then what to come if it's not a sacrifice? Make a sacrifice unto the Lord. He shall say, and let it not be common. You know, I know we come year after year, week after week, days after day, but don't let it be common to you. Because if you want God to speak to you, you're going to have to pour your heart to God. He's not going to speak to you because you drove all this way after you work and now, fine, I'm sitting here. Good. And that's good. But that is the beginning. Now that you're here, create an atmosphere of worship, an atmosphere of praises. If you don't want to lift your hands, that is a good time to lift your hands because make an effort. You know, if that's the time you don't want to clap when they're singing and you don't want to sing, it is the time for you to do it. Because it's going to require something from you. You know, sometimes we think, well, I'm here now. God made me. God don't make you. God don't make anybody. God don't force you. God, when we come to church, you know, God wants to see what you're going to do. He already knows what he's going to do. But what are you going to do? Sometimes we sing as sons. He says, we do not have the word to express how much we love you. Sometimes we sing that song. But he listened to what? To our hearts. It is not just words. We don't come here just to, oh, let's see how good I sing or how pretty. That's not even me. I don't even know how to sing. I forget the song all the time, you know. But, you know, once you enter in worship, it's not your mouth. It's not your brains. This is your heart that the Lord wants. And he knows if you are giving him all or not. You can fool me, you can fool everybody, but you cannot fool God. You want to be blessed today, tonight? Then pour everything that you have in the service. Well, we're going to have another service. How do you know that you're going to have a service Sunday? How do you know it's going to be a Sunday? Oh, that's how much we think we know. We know so much that we stink, you know. How can you predict to me that Sunday you're going to come and then you're going to do it? You can be dead by the time you go home. I mean, that's not saying that should happen. But we don't know. So you don't know this is the last time your mouth will open and praise God. We don't even know that. So let's take an advantage of the time that we have together. We came to church already. So let's pour our hearts. in worship. Let's pour our heart to bring down an atmosphere so God can come, and then he will speak to you. He says, and thou shalt say, oh Lord, I will praise thee. And thou wast angry at me. Amen. But you are not angry anymore. So come to church, even when in your words, maybe you did something wrong, or maybe you just come, even if you had to drag yourself. He's not mad at you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to love you. He wants to make you right. So come, even if you had to drag yourself in church. Maybe if you don't want to be in church, maybe you don't want to clap, just come, drag yourself, and let him have his way. And I tell you what, he will change you. And we praise him, because that is the desire of every true Christian. You know, the reason I'm here, because I have a desire. And that's not even my desire. God put that desire in my heart. And I'm not the only one. I bet you have the same desire. So if you have a desire to do it, then do it. Because he is the one that put that desire in you. Can you imagine that you cannot even make yourself desire anything? You cannot even make yourself desperate. So if you hear and you have a desire, them worshiping and praising, because he will see him all the way. You see? He wants worship. He wants praise. He wants a people that may love to him. You are one of the blessed people in this earth, because he chose you and he put that in you so you can fulfill that. I mean, you should be honored and privileged to be here tonight, to come to church, knowing that if it wasn't for him, you won't be here. So what I'm saying is, there's nothing you can do. We have to throw them in. It's nothing you can do. He is the one doing it all. And that's where I praise him all the time. Because his goodness, the greatness, the thing he's doing in my life. Because it's not me. All I'm doing is, Lord, you said it. I believe it. And I leave it there. I cannot figure out how it's going to work out. And I mean, God knows everything. He knows how he needs to work things out. And we've seen that, and we got this scripture, you know, Isaiah 60, 69 or something. It says, I'm going to that one in a minute. But we also seen another son. He said, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So why don't you leave yourself out and put the, you know, the garment. When you walk through that door, put the garment of praise. You know, don't come dressed as yourself. I mean, this is not a Halloween party, but don't come at yourself. Put the garment of praising. Put the garment of God. That means that's an attitude. That's an attitude when you come through those doors. You know, you're going to take your stinking robes, you know, all day long, brushing your elbow against sinners and unbelievers, working out there in all kind of situations, hearing all kind of things. But when it comes to church, change that garment. You come to the door, put the garment of praise. Well, we sing that all the time, and we praise God, and we do all these things. We have to have understanding what we're singing about. Yeah. Lord, help us to understand. Psalms 96, I want to read it. It says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. It says, sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory. That's what we sing. We want to declare his glory among the hidden. You know, the reason you're here is so the world out there know that God exists. Amen. You are the proof that God is real. Amen. But if we don't sing about it, if we wouldn't declare that in our midst. You know, I hate to come to a church and they say, oh, you come to a church, you know, we got something for you. And when you get there, it's just about the same thing I got already. I don't see no joy. I don't see no praises. I want to come to a church that is alive and well. So the world, we know that God is real. But how can God is real when sometimes we down and out in the circumstances of the world, we come moaning and woes, and, you know, because this hurt. First and second and third pool, we come to church dragging ourselves and complaining. Yeah. How can anybody see you like that? I'm going to say, I like to go to your church. I will be the first one. I said, you know, I got one of those churches already. I'm looking for something different. The only way that people are going to see the glory of God is in you. And if sometimes they see the way we are, sometimes they don't want to even come to church. Why? It's not because they don't like God. It's because you are supposed to be the one that God, they see God in you. So the way you act, they are seeing. You said that you, God is in you, and that's the way you act. I see you in church. You know, I didn't see your arms going up. I didn't see you clapping. You said that you were, that you go to church to have fun. I mean, I can stay home and have more fun than that. You know, we come to church to sing his and declare his glory, see, among the people, see. We come to church because we want to show forth that we are happy and we are so grateful for his salvation. I mean, this is not just to come to church to just because we come to church. When you come to church, it's all about him. It's all about him. And you want people to notice, you know, then you have to show what God is and who God is, because that is your purpose. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day, not only in church, but at home, at work. You know, you are in a spotlight when you got out this door. You know, people are keeping an eye on you because you're saying some things and they're watching to see if that is going to come out or not. Because everybody has a lot to say. I don't care much about what you have to say. I just want to see what you do, you know. Because your life will preach me a better sermon than what you tell me you are. Your actions tell me. It speak louder in heaven than here, so... You know, the world needs to know about God. The world needs to know about Jesus. The world that is lost and need a Savior. And the only way it's going to see it is the way you act. How do you act towards your Savior? That's all they're going to see. For the Lord is great, greatly to be praised. He says he is to be feared above all gods. You know, sometimes people that don't fear God because they see the actions of what we call so-called American Christians. What they see in TV, what they see in the screen, what they see in YouTube, you know, in the media. And that is what they think. That's not Christianity. That's entertainment. And that, anyway, it don't change anybody because they don't have the power to even preach all that and less change anybody. So, but you do have that power. You have that in you. You have the power to save somebody. Do you know that? You know, God uses your flesh, your hands, your mouth. God comes down, and you are his legs. And you have and his eyes. And the way you act, people notice. What it was, brother, I don't see him here, but brother, I hope they're okay. Brother John Jarber, he was talking about joy, that at work she's always smiling, and it doesn't matter what's going on in her life, that die, COVID over there, problems over there, situation, but she still smiles. She still got a smile to give to someone. She still got something good to say about someone. She's not letting the pressures of the world to dictate, you know, who you are and what you are and what you do. See? I'm going to tell you those things later, what it's there for. Isaiah 61:3, that's the one that we have in the screen when we start the service. It says, to appoint unto them the mourn in Zion, to give unto them beautiful ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. The oil, that's the unction that comes, you know, joy. Are we joyful when we come? He said, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. See, that's the whole purpose, to come and to lift him up. See, so he can be glorified. We got all these things. Oh, you know, we have no excuse that day. We have it on the screen in every service, and we quote it, and we preach it. You know, there's going to be a people that is going to do it. And I want to be that. I want to be one of those that is going to do that word in our lives. See, God, he proclaimed that he's going to comfort us. He's going to give us peace, rest, see, over the trouble, you know, that we're going through. Instead of mourning, instead of disappointments. See, Brother Doug was talking about the appearance. I love that. That's one of my subjects, appearance. See, the Lord has to appear. You know, not his coming. He needs to appear in your flesh. And we are so far now. It is the time for the Lord to come. We are close. But before he comes, he needs to appear. He needs to appear. And you and I, that being the longest we are here, the longest, you should show me Jesus. Because Jesus needs to appear in your flesh. The way you act, the way you talk, the way you move, the way you do things, God should appear. Slowly. That's the reason we are here. Because from glory to glory to glory. Amen. Until, listen, what good it will be that the Lord appear after the rapture? Big deal. I'm changed. I don't have no worries. Nothing. No sickness. No funerals. No worries. I need him to appear here. In this side of the rapture. Before he's coming, he needs to appear. How? He needs to take over. In one of these days, if we continue, I don't know how long we got, you will not see Eli anymore. Because he's going to appear. See, it's not going to be Mark anymore. He's going to appear, see? And then you will be that form, that image that he thought before the foundation. It needs to appear. And that is what the whole journey is here, to come to church and let that Spirit of God, the power of God, to change our lives from glory to glory to glory to glory. And that's what we had to come to church. We praise in our lips. We praise in our heart. For God is doing a work. Listen, God is doing a work. I believe so, that God is doing a work in our life. And listen, it's not, we don't have too long to go. He's going to appear. Listen, you are pregnant. You are pregnant with the word of God from the very beginning. He called you. He gave you that seed. It's in you. But what is he supposed to do? It's just like a woman when she's pregnant. What is she doing? She is nurturing. She has this baby in her, and she until those 9 months. And you know, those 9 months aren't any none of fun. I don't know much about it because I'm not a woman. But you said it's not easy. Why? Because at first maybe just a little bit of I feel upset, and it starts slowly, you know. And then the next thing it is, you start vomiting. I'm sorry about that word, vomiting. Throwing up. The English word is throwing up. Anyway. Okay, and you get a little bit more upset. But as the way goes, it gets worse and worse. What do you think we are in the last days and it's getting worse? Because it will get worse before it gets better. Before he appears, it's going to get worse. Why? Because he has to. It is the pressure. It is that we brings the best in us. It's not just the relaxation time in the beach there with a nice, umbrella and a nice drink. It's pressure. God knows what he needs to do to bring the best in each one of us. And by the time you get to the 6-7 months, the pains, and it gets worse, and it's getting worse. We got pandemic. We got all kind of things. The government, we got... people are there killing each other, and kids killing kids, and we got riots, and we got all kind of things, and I don't want to get into all that. See, because that is very depressing. Anyway, that's not what I'm looking at. That's the darkness. I'm looking at the light. I'm not looking at the work of Satan. I'm looking at the work of the light, because we are children of the light. But the pain gets worse and gets worse and gets worse. And when you think you cannot stand the pain anymore, and the water breaks and the work goes forward. And that baby, but once the baby is born, what happens? That's it. They said she forget about the pains. Right now we're going through pain, to birth pains. We're trying to birth in ourselves that word of God. It needs to come forth. It needs to appear in every action, in every way we talk, look, in every way we move. We should see him again, walking again in this earth, because he's taking on flesh. See, the world don't know it, but he's taking on flesh again. And he has to do the same thing he did 2,000 years, he has to do today. Amen? So, his appearance. So he wants to change our life, the morning, the situation we go through. See? He wants to clothe us with a beautiful robe, you know. He wants to do for us what no one else can do for us. And tonight, I want to say the same thing again, that when I walk through those doors, I put my garment of praise. You know why? Because I want to praise him for all that he has done so far in my life. And I'm waiting for more. This is not over. But we have to start praising him. Forget about the darkness. Sometimes we pay more attention to the darkness, what Satan is saying, than anything else. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the suffering of these present times are not worthy. Amen. One of these days, when everything is over, you're going to look back and say, just like a pregnant, after the baby's come, that's it. She's happy again. Everybody's happy. One of these days, it's going to be over. And the suffering that you're going right now is not even close to what the glory that we're going to experience one of these days. Amen. Amen. It's not worthy to compare. So if we go through, forget about it. Think about what he's doing in your life. All that is for you one of these days to dress yourself completely. We are dressing ourselves with the word. See, we are putting that garment on. And that glory, one of these days, that appearance is going to be revealed in us. And that's what I'm looking forward. Coming to church, that's what I'm looking forward. It's another opportunity for me to get further in Christ. Another opportunity to go a little bit further in the Word. A little more opportunity to get a little higher. Don't miss your opportunity. That is what you are here. Amen. Revelations 7:17, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. See, once that day comes, you know, it's done. I don't need no more suffering. I don't need more this. I don't need more that. But while we're here, we need to always praise God for what he's doing for us. The way he's taking us, where we are going to. Let's take our eye from us, the situation of the circumstances. Let's just put our eyes, let's focus ourselves in one thing and one thing only. Let's focus ourselves in his word and what he says. He said, Jehovah is my strength. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 2, I think it is. Did I put it there? Yeah. Behold, God is my salvation. See, Isaiah, this chapter is a chapter of jubilee. It's a chapter of being grateful. This is a chapter of, I have the title here. It's a chapter of celebration. Sorry, I had to go back to it. See how I forget? It is a chapter of celebration. When you come to church, you should celebrate life. That's why when we praise God, when we worship God, we are celebrating life. No, because we are alive. We were dead once. Now we are alive. Some people come to church and they still are dead. Yeah, we are alive. And we have to worship him because he is. Let's see if I go back to my... Now I have to go back to my... Yeah, behold, God is my salvation. Not only that he is my salvation, but God is my Savior, is what he's saying. He saved me, and I will trust him and not to be afraid. See, it doesn't matter what the world throws at you. You don't need to be afraid because he saved you. He's not going to let the world destroy you. There's nothing that Satan can do there. There's no weapon that he can create that can destroy you. Why? He didn't save you to lose you. That was not his reason. He saved you because and you need to trust him. It doesn't matter what happened in our life. Let's praise him because let's trust him and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength. That's your strength tonight. He is your strength. It's not eating Wheaties and all that stuff that give you strength. But the joy of the Lord is your strength tonight. You know, it's my strength and my song, see? The people that are of God, they are so in love with Him, and they are so grateful that a song just sprouts out of their heart, you know? It's something that is. This morning I was in the back of the house, and I'm looking at the rain just came down, and everything is green, and, you know, that's a view in Tucson, because it's not going to last too long. But and I saw it, and the water and everything, and I said, thank you, Lord. Because the water will refresh. You know, you come to church to get refreshed. You go to hear the word. The word is the water that will refresh you. So if you don't leave the place refreshed, there's something wrong. Because that's why we go up to church. We want to be refreshed spiritually, and we want to have a strength in our bodies. And he is my strength, he says, and my song. He also become my salvation. Behold, God is our Savior. Not only He saved us, but He is our Savior yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't only save me one time. He always is looking after me. He's always keeping me. He's always caring for me, protecting me. He is my Savior. I'm glad that He came and saved me. It is not a one-time thing. He is the source, and He's the author of life. See, He's the one that created life. For the Lord is our strength. 2 Corinthians 1:10 says, who delivered us from the great death. See? And that delivers, and whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. So He is not going to save you yesterday. He saved you yesterday. He saved you today. And He's still going to save you tomorrow. He did not save you just to, okay, now let me wind this watch, you know, and let it go out there and see what you're going to do, you know, until it runs out, you know. That's not the way God saved you. Yeah, I saved you. Now you got what you need. See what you can do. No. He's still. It's today. He's still saving me. He's still with me. He's still protecting me. Seeing God is the author. I want to read this. This is one of the things that when I'm doing my studies, somebody wrote. It says, since God is the author, since He's able to defend me and to perfect that which He has begun. Let me put this smaller. I will confide in Him. He says, and not to be afraid of the powers of the machinations of the enemy. He says, in His hands I am safe. He says, God is the foundation of our confidence. And trust in Him, His people shall never, never be moved. Yes. You know, Satan is still punching. And he will still punch in until the last punch. I don't know what the last one will be, and I'm not worrying about it. Because I'm going to worry about God's last punch, not His punch. That's what I said, don't worry about the darkness. Don't worry about what Satan is doing. Put your focus on everything on Him. You know, Satan knows. He has enough time to study you. He knows what made you click so far, you know. He's been around for more than 6,000 years. He knows. He knows humans. He knows what they're making click and making move. He has time to study you. But, hey, that sounds bad. But you also have come a long way. You are not the way you used to be. So you are also growing, see? Now, Satan is punching. Yeah, he's... by now, he knows exactly where he needs to point to your life. We live in the laser age, you know. We're not living in the white light, you know, that covers everybody now. The laser knows exactly where to go. And Satan already has figured you out, Brother Cobble. He knows what makes you tick. He had enough time to study you. And he don't need to waste too much time now like a fighter. You know, he figured where your weakness is at. And he goes sadly to that. He's not going to waste time. He don't have much time. So he goes to that point. Brother Mark, And Brother Joe, he knows your weakness. He knows your weakness, Brother Dutch. So he goes exactly to that. He knows what he's doing. But what he don't know is that we are growing as well. We are not the same one that started back came when we was a little child in the Lord. We are not the same. In fact, he had to come to the Lord and ask him permission. And when we were babies in the Lord, you know, Satan came and said, can I do this to him? And he said, I don't think he's ready. Let's save that one for later on. So God is always saving you and protecting you. He knows what you have need of and bring to all that is in you. So Satan said, okay, but now when you grow and you've been growing and now we almost mature, now, you know, I'm going through things that I never did before when I was 24 years in this message. I didn't even know that this thing that are coming now at 72 years old were in me. Why? Because then it wasn't the time for those things. But now we are coming closer and closer. And then Satan knows that. He's been practicing on me for many years. Now he knows exactly. He's getting there. So that's why you have to cover your weakness with prayers. You need to keep that down all the time. So Satan knows that. So Brother Branham says that you are the answers to his challenge. See, you have become the answer to his challenge. So when you have cancer, and he comes and says, you got cancer, you tell him, I got the answer for your cancer. Don't dwell in that. Because if you're not afraid of cancer, Brother Man said, it will go. You're not afraid what he brings. Well, you got COVID, and you know how many people die. But Satan, you stand toe to toe with Satan and say, listen to me, Satan. I am the answer to your COVID problems or issues. See? Oh. And you know what the answer? God is my healer. Amen. You cannot harm me. Right. You cannot touch me. Right. Because God is my deliverer. Yes. But you cannot stand toe to toe with Satan and argue with him. You know? You cannot argue with him. He comes with a challenge. You got depression. So what are you going to do? You got a choice. Well, you got two choices. You're going to listen at him, and you're going to take that spirit of depression, and you're going to go down, see, and around. And you're going to argue with him, because there is no way to argue with Satan. He already knows that what is your worst case anyway. But the thing is to stand when he said, I got a spirit of depression. I stand and said, and you can have it back. I will not sign for it. Period. Because you are the answer. The reason God called you, the world out there needs to know the reality, who God is. And you are the one that's going to show the world who God is. And if you said that God is the healer, then Satan come and said, I got a box of rattlesnake. It's come to your address. This is your name. Will you sign for it? And you stand to him and you say, you know what? Take it back. I don't have to take it. And even if he make you sick, you still stand and you say, it is yours. And you will pay for it. You know, maybe here's a good time to give you my testimony. I'm so enthused with the Lord. I had COPD. You don't see me breathing bad here now. The other time that I preached, I almost run out of air a few times. The doctor told me that I got COPD. And I asked the doctor, so what are you going to do for me about this? What is the solution? There's no solution. There's no cure for it. Okay, but thank you. So give me the medicines and start taking the steroids and I'm taking my albuterol and I take my pills. And the other day I was real bad. The last 2 months, my health was just declining. I was lost weight and I don't know what was going on, but I couldn't breathe. I found myself gasping for air. I make a 2 or 3 steps, go upstairs to the room, and I had to and wait until and I don't know what was going on, but I know that my lungs are restricted. Something restricted my lungs, and something don't let it pick up enough oxygen. And the exchange of oxygen and CO2 is not happening, you know, in the bottom. That's where on the bottom of the lungs. So I went to see my daughter in Michigan, and I got a call before I went. Got over it, but my lungs always get, congested. And it takes me weeks to get that thing out of my chest. And then after that, got better. I kept taking my medicine every day. I'm hiking and I'm speeding and I'm trying to clear my lungs. And every time I make a move, I'm gasping for air. I know things are not right, but I've been in this for more years and years in this thing. I know what to expect already, so I'm not afraid. So after a while, I came home and I got home in December. And then my older grandchild gave me another call that he had. The first one was the Aaron, and the second one was Elliot. And I went back again, down again. And it took me a week or two to get that. But the congestion always stays there. I cannot sleep at night because I'm coughing and I'm hacking. I cannot get rest. In the day, I cannot be moving and I'm doing because I'm tired. Because my body's lacking, the oxygen that it needs to... Oxygen is actually energy for your muscles. If you don't have oxygen, your muscles will not do nothing. So the less oxygen, but the less you can do. So I'm over there, so... I got down on my knees one night, and I said, Lord, I'm at the end of my, what I can do. I don't know why, and I am worried, and I am tired, and I am sick of just this thing all these years. Since I was born, I've been this way. The thing that I was stronger when I was younger, so I could get over it easier. But as I get older, it's worse. So I said, Lord, so one day, I just poured my heart to God, and I said, I'm done. Done to worry. I'm going to trust you. You do. Well, I'm standing here today and I'm telling you, I don't have no more COPD. I'm clear. The other night, my wife, when I got a shot Saturday, the booster shot, and this is not about if you agree or not agree, I'm just telling you the facts. She got the booster shot, and she was kind of dizzy during that day. And that night, she went to sleep. She was having fever. She was dizzy. She was coughing. And she looked like she completely got the... that's what you're supposed to do, That's the reaction to the booster. So... And I'm okay. I'm not worried about it. It has to go to that. But she went to sleep, and about 4 in the morning, I was sleeping, and it was dark. She gets up at night, and she don't want to turn the light. She don't want to wake me up because, again, sometimes I get the sleep I get, and she don't want to wake me up because I'm sleeping. But I heard the shuffling in the rug, and I hear the shuffle, and I... looking, and she's not there, so I think, okay, that must be her, but what is she shuffling to the bathroom, And then I saw her coming back, and I turned the light on, and she just, stopped there. She was disoriented. I mean, not completely, and she's just, I seen that look before. I seen that look before when she had two strokes. And I said, okay. So when I got her and I set her in bed, and I'm looking, I'm observing because I already been twice, and I start looking for, observing for, her mouth that is not, and the speech is not slurring, and their mouth start dropping here in the side because that's what happens, or their eyes sometimes, depending what size. So I'm observing and I'm not seeing those signs yet, but I'm looking because she acting like she's going to a stroke. And so I sat her down and I said, let me check your blood sugar. So I pricked her and I checked the blood sugar, 205. Now, it should be at least 100. After being in bed for 4 hours, it should drop down to 110 or 100. Through the night, it should burn all that sugar that you ate. But that's what the sugar happened. You have to take stuff for that because the body's not doing it. So I said, this is too high. So I said, let me take your blood pressure. So I take a blood pressure, 185 over 109. I said, no. That's what brings strokes, because the heart is pumping too hard because the blood is too thick with sugar. I learned all this by experience already. So, but I'm still observing. I'm observing, and I'm saying, You know, I'm looking for a real sign, complete sign now, even though that should be enough for me to run to the hospital. I mean, if you were there, you'd probably taken her. But I'm thinking, no, you know, this devil. So I said, the hospital are overwhelmed with patients. And to take somebody to the hospital is just as bad as not taking it, because they don't even have room. They don't even have bed. The situation, at least that I see in the news, the hospitals aren't even sending patients to other. They don't have room. Can you imagine me taking my wife because she's having a stroke that I'm thinking and have to put up with all that? I know they are overwhelmed with all the patients. Will they take care of her? I don't know what's going to happen. And I said, on top of that, you know, you go to this place and you get COVID. You don't have it, but you're going to get it. Because when you go to these places, you know, that's what it is. It's all full of these viruses. So I just kept observing and I kept talking to her. And she talked to me so I can notice her speech. And then finally I said, you know what, Satan? Ain't happening. I'm not going to run to the doctor. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to pray. I said, put my hands on her and I pray. Next day she got up. She was ready to go. And she has no fever. She was walking right. In fact, I know she was right because she starts snapping at me. Now, I didn't call my daughters. I didn't want to worry. I didn't want to worry anybody. But you know, you're going to have to do that. We are in the hour that you're going to have to step up. We are in the hour that you're going to have to tell the devil what to do. Because you are the answer to his challenge. God put you over here because just like Jesus in the flesh, he stood and he commanded. He didn't ask. He just said, commanded. Satan, get. You're going to have to. We are at that time. This is the end. We should be right now giving Satan a hard time. Not the other way around. When he wants to give you a spirit of depression, you say, no, I'm going to take it, period. It doesn't matter what happens. You're not taking it. Take it back. Amen. You know, and that is my testimony. The last few months and this week, you know, forget it. I am sick of being sick of being sick. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to tell Satan, I got the answer for that sugar problem. I got the answer for your little spirit of depression. I got the answer for your little cancer. Let me show you. God is my deliverer. God is my healer. God is my doctor. God is care for me. He loves me. And he's still saving me. And he's still protecting me. And even if he don't do it, I do like Job. Even if I die, I still trust him. Amen. I think that it's time that we arise. It is time that we just take the word of God, that trust God. It is time that we stop looking at the darkness and start looking at the light, at the word of God. Excuse me. It is time. And that's my testimony. And I gave you those testimony because they were true. No, I know Satan comes back and says, well, how did you know she was going to have a stroke? You never took it to the doctor to see. You know, don't sit there and argue with it. He's a loser. He already lost. You know, it's just the same thing when Brother Doug said he wanted the Holy Spirit and the Satan came and said, you're not worthy. You know, yeah, but everybody can have it, but you are not. Then when he got it, he said, well, you're the only one that have it. Nobody else have it. See, he's not going to give up. So don't let him. Don't sit there and argue with him. It is time that we rise up. And let me, this thing timed me out, and I got to go back to, I hate these things. I hate these things. The Lord is our strength. So I read you that little thing, and it says, for the Lord of Isaiah 6 chapter, I think I'm still in verse 2. He says, for the Lord Yahovah is your strength, my son. And that's why we come today. That's what I'm in church today. Because I want to sing a song of victory. When I come, I don't sing a song of defeat. When I come to church, I have victory. Listen, my friend, the victory don't happen over here. I'm telling you, the victory happens out there in your house, in your home, in your school. There is where you have to have victory. There is where you have to face Satan. But when you come to church, he's waiting for you outside. He don't have enough sense to come over here anyway. Because, you know, we're throwing spirits out and casting the spirits out, and we're going to cast them out anyway. But, see, out there is where you have victory, like I have. And you come over here and you praise God for all your victories. This is the place that you come and give him all the honor. And not because God is good. So when you come to church, now, if you haven't had any victory out there, you won't have nothing to shout about. Yeah, it's easy to be in church and be a good Christian, but nothing happens here in that sense. Out there, when you're by yourself, there is where you need victory. And Satan wants to come, and Satan wants to bring evil to you. But you know, God, we turn all that around, and you can have victory. Listen, one of these days when you're there in the mountain, I hope not, and by yourself camping, and you start having a heart attack or something happens to you and the church is not around and the pastor is not around and no one is going around, what are you going to do? Right. You're not going to call Ghostbusters. See how far that's going to go. You got one choice and one choice only. You're going to call on God. Amen. See, here, you can get pray. Here, we can pray for one another, and we can help one another. But when you are there by yourself, you need to know, and you need to know, and you need to know that God cares for you. He's also our strength. He is our source of strength. He redeems us, you know, and he also had given us of his strength. And that's why we sing a new song. Because that's why we praise him. Because it doesn't matter what situation I find myself, he is my strength. Don't forget that. It is not your strength. It is his strength. So when you come to service, then you have something to shout about. I'm telling you the truth. What happens over there and the way you handle things, that is when you come to church, if you're going to shout or you're not going to shout. You're going to shout the praises of God. Isaiah 6:3, therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw waters. See, when you come to service and you experience joy for what God has done for you, and you start praising God and you worship God and you set an atmosphere, the word comes. The word is the water, and you just deep in that well, in that water, in that word. See, and then you can have salvation. You can have whatever problem you have, whatever need you have, but it takes someone that understand that the joy of the Lord, when you start rejoicing in the service, when you start having a good time in the service, that's what I said, it's important that you come to service with the garment of praise and start creating an atmosphere. So when the word comes forward, the water of the word comes forward, you can dip in that water and have whatever you have need. Amen. You have to. This is not something that somebody's going to give it to you just because you're a good-looking guy. I'm not talking about you, Malachi. Talking about the guy behind you. You know, you're going to have to put effort in the services. Because you're going to have to overcome you, not me and not the preacher. You got to overcome your own flesh and get to the point that you get lost in the spirit. You get lost in the worship. And when the water comes and you're thirsting and you need water, when the water of the word comes, you can dip. You can have as much as you want to. But it requires an attitude. Yeah. It's just not going to happen because you came to church. No. You got to put, you got to invest. Right. If you want something in return, you got to invest in the service. Right. You got to give it all. Right. Yeah. This is not a show. This is not, that you come and sit and let somebody entertain you. In fact, the Bible says it's better to give than to take. Yes. So sometimes we come to church. So that's the only two kind of people, those that take and those that want to give. Right. So what kind of people are you? Right. I want to give. I want to give all I got for the Lord Jesus, for all the things, all the greatness, all the goodness, everything. I want to come to church and show God, and I don't have to show you. This is where we come together as a group. So we can create that atmosphere. So we can dip in that water. Listen, take a swim. Go deep. I mean, well, I'm afraid to drink too much. Go out like the little fish. You think it's going to drink the ocean? You know, you can have abundantly. You can have tonight whatever you want that is in the will of God. You can have. Just create that atmosphere. Praise the Lord. Worship the Lord. And when the word comes forward, just jump into it and have whatever you have need. God will give it to you, because this is the formula. I'm giving you the formula to be blessed, because when you are blessed, then you come to church to bless them, because you are so blessed. It says, therefore, see, and the joy, and joy is man's portion. You know that's your portion tonight. We should be joyful. We should be happy, sister. Even in the bad, even in the good, even we should be happy, because that is my portion. God don't want you to go around moaning and in serious and complaining. God wants you to be happy. And that is my portion. He is my portion. And God will never, never fail. He is the fountain. He is the fountain, the living fountain. The infallible. It will never fail us. And this, the well of salvation, is the words of eternal life. When we come to church and we deepen in that word and we deepen in that well, what we are getting is eternal life. Because the word of God is life. And we want to live, then we want to drink. We want to drink. Because we need to nurture that seed. We need to nurture that nature that God has put in us. It is your responsibility. It is your duty to nurture. You know, like a woman nurtures that baby. When you come to church, nurture that word in you. The well of salvation, eternal life. 2 Peter 1:4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding and great precious promises, the word. That this you might be partakers of the divine nature. See, the more we partake of his word, the more we dip, the more we make an effort and invest into getting into that word, the more what we partake of who? Of his nature. And the more of his nature, the more he will appear in your life. See, we had to put ourselves in Christ. He says, partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is of this world, lust, whereby we are made partakers of the divine nature. So the water or the word, the preaching, when it comes forward, you're ready to drink. See, living waters. You are drinking living waters because you want to live. You know, God has given you that. God wants you to live. You cannot die as much as God can die. But you got to keep yourself alive. I cannot do that for you. You cannot do that for me. But when you come to the service, you need to drink. Drink. Make an atmosphere that when the word comes, you can drink. And then you can leave. See? But it's all you. See, sometimes we want to complain. We want to blame everybody else. It is you. It is me. We are the one that need to invest in these things. We need to want how to make the effort. We made the effort to come to church. Let's get into it. Let's bring him down. That's what we want. We want him. We want his presence. Why? Because he's alive. And I want to be alive. I want to be alive. I don't want to be sick. So I miss church. I miss church. And that's not the reason I don't want to be sick. I don't want to be sick because I want to do whatever God will in my life. I want to do. When you're sick, you cannot do it. When you have anything in your body that don't let you, that's Satan. Satan's trying to stop the work of God. He's not going to stop the work of God. Because you said so. Psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Who forgive all my thy iniquities, who heal all thy diseases. There's no sense to be sick when we have a God that can, you know, heal all my diseases. He didn't say some of them, all my diseases. Who redeem my life from destruction. Satan cannot destroy me even if he try. Because God already saved my life. He's not going to let Satan come and destroy it. Because I am a work of God. I'm in his hand. He's working on my life. He called me. Who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies my mouth with good things. You know what? Sometimes we cannot praise the Lord and we cannot worship because we are not satisfied. The word cannot satisfy. Nothing else out there can satisfy. Only he can satisfy your soul. And I'm not saying only in church. Out there, wherever you are, whatever you have need, he is your portion. So when we come to church, we are not coming so we can experience all these things. You know where you experience all these things? Out there. He is easy. We can be Christians. So easy because we have chased him out. He's not messing with none of us. But when you go out there, he says, satisfy my mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like an eagle. Amen. I'm 72, but I'm just a young guy in an old body. But one of these days, this old body's going to fall out, and that young guy is going to come out, you know, because he's renewing my life. I'm not talking about this guy, and he's renewing me afresh. His mercies are afresh every day, you know. It is because his goodness that I can stand here right now at 72 with all the things that I have been through. And I still can stand because it's his strength, his goodness. And you know what? After he went to the cross, and after he died a terrible death, I mean, they kicked him, they spit on him, they put a crown of thorn, they lashed his back like ground beef, I mean, bleeding all over the place. They slapped him, they did all they wanted, they spit on him, and then that wasn't not enough. They made him carry that cross. After he was tired since 3 o'clock in the morning, sick, whatever it was, the time that he went, he hasn't eaten, he hasn't done anything. He's a body that was worried, tired. They make him carry that cross too. The splinters in the back, I can imagine that back was all tore up and trying to carry a cross and the splinters, because that wasn't a smooth wood, not in those days. And if that wasn't enough, they put him on the cross. And they put nails in his hands. And you know how he died? He didn't die because the nails or all that suffering. He died of asphyxiation. He got to the point that he couldn't breathe anymore. That's what I understand. That's what I know. He understand what I was going through when I cannot breathe. Because he died that kind of a death. And blood all over the place. They cut his side. And after all that, they done to him. You think we are going to take it so lightly to come to church? After all that effort and all that work and all that pain and all that suffering, we better catch in everything that he has for us. I want everything that he paid for. I want it all because it cost a price. This wasn't something light. It cost his life. So when I come to church, I'm going to redeem everything that I can, that he paid for. He gave it to me. It is my, it's my inheritance, and the devil cannot even mess with it anymore. So I'm not going to come to church and cry and complain, or I'm going to go home and it hurts here, it hurts there. No, I'm going to look at the light. I'm going to look at the word. Satan, he paid for my healing. He paid for all this. And you need to move. Psalm 14:27, the fear of the Lord is fountain of life. The reverence, not fear, reverence, they depart from the snare of the dead. I like this song that we sing sometimes. I wrote it down because I don't remember. It says, I have a river of life flowing out of me. It says, make the lame to walk and the blind to see. The open prison door set the captive free. I got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well. Spring up, flowing out of me. See, that is what that water will do. Just dip yourself in that well. Just drink in that well. Spring up, oh well, and give me the life abundantly. Listen, my friend, we can live a life abundantly here. You don't have to wait until you are raptured and you change to live an abundant life. You can have abundant life here, right now. You just got to make sure you mean business. You have to make sure you believe it. Because when you face the Satan, he will know if you are going to back up or not. If you're bluffing. There's no bluffing. Either you do or you don't. Generally, let me read you this comment that I read in one of the, as I was doing my studies, I think I put it on the, on, generally, in the scriptures, okay, a stream, fountain, rivers are used as a symbol or emblematic of the abundance of fullness and riches of mercies which God has provided to supply the spiritual necessities of men. You have a need, drink. You have a drink, make a way to that well. Listen, David has to fight. He wanted those three soldiers of him. He wanted water, and they fought through thick and thin. Went and got him water and brought it back. Sometimes that's what you have to do. You cannot sit down and wait for somebody to bring you water. Sometimes you just gonna have to fight for it. Even if that is yours, you still gotta fight for it because Satan is not gonna let go that easy. You're going to have to go through thick and thin, whatever it is, and you fight your way, but that is your water. And I'm going to do whatever I know how to do. But I want that water. I want the living water because I cannot do without it. It says, God provided, supplied the spiritual necessity for me. The idea here is, therefore, that they should partake abundantly of the mercies of salvation that was free, overflowing and refreshing like water the weary pilgrims in the desert, and that their partaking of it would be joy. See? That's what I said. I know if you had a good time in service or not, because you're either going to live with joy or with no joy, or whatever joy you came with. The reason you're here is because you want to partake of the joy. And is enough joy here for you and me? It would fill the soul with happiness. When you leave this service, I don't think you leave the way you came. In fact, you were sad when you came in. But you're happy, you're smiling. I see you, since I started, you start smiling. Something is happening. And it's a supernatural thing. There's nothing that you will be able to put the finger on it. It is God changing you. Changing your behavior, is changing your ways. As you sit in there, the word, you're deepening that word, and God is doing his work. See? But you have to let go and let God. Forget about the darkness. Forget about your infirmities. Forget about your affliction. Drag yourself in church, and I tell you what, God will recompense you. Don't use that as an excuse. I'm not being insensitive to stay home or do. If you sick, well, if you sick, you better not come to church. But I'm not talking about being really sick with some kind of disease. I'm talking about sometimes we are tired and our bodies are weary. Sometimes I got a headache, whatever. You know, I promise you, by the time you leave church, you'll be a different person. In fact, you don't even know when the headache left. I come over here with that way, and I start praising the Lord, start singing, and at one point, I just, whoop, what happened to that guy? He's gone. I didn't want him anyway. Will be joy. It would fill the soul with happiness as the discovery of that abundant fountain or a well in the desert fill the thirsty pilgrim and will rejoice. And I think that's true. We come and we drink and we rejoice, and when we live here, we live better than when we came in, because we are not thirsty anymore, at least for this moment. Isaiah 12:4, no, I'm better. I don't even know what time it is. It doesn't matter. I think I'm overdue. It says, "And in that day, or again, this day, shall ye said, praise the Lord." Now, he also was talking about tributes and admiration. That's what is praise the Lord. That is in that day. He repeats that again in this verse. In that day, that is today, right now, he says, call upon his name, declare his doing among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. See, we not only coming to church, just to come to church, but we need to call upon his name. And I'm not talking about praying. We pray, yes. This is the house of prayers, a house of worship, a house of correction. But when we come to worshiping and we come to praise him, that's what I mean, calling upon his name. You know, mention his name, that Jesus is our Lord, that he is our all in all. Declare his doing among the people. See, that's what we need to testify. That's what we need to be witnesses. Make mention that so his name can be exalted. How do I exalt God if I don't know what's going on in your life? And if you don't share your testimonies like I have done, how do you know that God is working in the midst? See, we need to exalt, we need to share with each other what God is doing in our midst. And that is what we celebrate, the praises. And we sing hymns and we praise God because all that he has done, declare among the people, you know, what he has done for us. We declare his glory. We declare and we celebrate and we praise his doings. You know, we want to make mention. We want to make sure that everybody will remember that God is in the throne, that God is in charge. We need to mention that God is still in control. We need to remind each other that God is still God. Amen. Let me see if I go quickly. Let's go to 12:6, verse 5. Seeing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. See, that is how thing. It says to tell, to sing. When we come to church, we're singing because God is good, the great things he has done in our life. We want to praise him because that. Not just because I'm in church and we are singing and I like that song. No, it's because God has done great things in my life. Out there. He has done, we sing that song, he has done great things. See, and it's worthy. He's worthy when we come to church to celebrate what he has done in our life. Every time we come to church, unless he hasn't done anything, but I know that's impossible. You cannot be out there and call yourself a Christian and have an easy life. Because Satan is after you. He's after you. He give you a punch today. Maybe it's not COPD today. It's not that today. But it's not over. It's not over until we are out of here. He's still going to be punching. He's still going to be kicking. He's still going to try to make my life miserable. But what he don't understand is he's getting better at what he's doing. But what he don't know is that I'm getting better at what I'm doing. See, because he don't understand that he's making me better. See, I need all that pressure so God can bring out of me who I am. See, I don't know what I am. I don't know who I am. I don't know what God has placed in me. But God has to use ways for me. God knows already. He's not doing this for him. He's doing it for me. So I know who I am and what I can do. So we have to go through all that. And he will back again. I told my wife, well, this round we win. Satan lost. But it's not the last round. He's going to come back again. But the more he comes back, the more I'm gaining more confidence, the more I trust in God, the more I experience God, and the more I know that God works in my life. And that is going from glory to glory to glory, understanding that there, God has put something in you that you can fight back. You don't have to stand and take it anymore. And when we grow, you know, you start growing and you start knowing who you are. But Satan don't understand that yet. But we're going to cinch his win every time he comes. Until he's going to get sick and tired to come and bother me. In fact, he shook my life too long. So what I do in the mornings, I get up because I want to shake the, you know, the gates of hell in the morning. You know, with my prayers. So say, wake up. Ain't you coming this way today? I'm waiting for you. It is time that we shake the gates of hell. Listen, it is time that we get up and praise the Lord and worship the Lord and thank the Lord and let's check those doors. You know what? Wake him up. I'm not going to wait for him to. I'm going to wake him up. I said, I'm waiting for you to do it. Whenever you're ready, I'm ready. Psalm, let me jump to the last one. 12:6. Cry out and shout, it says, the habitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. He is in the midst of all, and he is great. Amen. You need to understand when we come to church, he is in the midst of his people. Amen. And God is great. He said, cry out. Cry out, don't mean to cry out in that sense, but to shout to God, you know, to shout. It is also used to express joy, pleasures, exaltation, you know, not just crying out like Moses did. You know, he cried out, but that wasn't the kind of cry out that God wanted to hear. He said, shut up and move forward. The kind of a cry out that we're talking about, shouting his goodness, shouting that God is good, shouting when we come to church, not just in them, you know, singing, you know, bless his holy name. No, shout. Let the devil know that we, God, you know, that God is in the camp, like he was with the Israelite. You know, and how he will know that? When he hear the noise. Make noise. Cry out to God. Worship God. Express your joy. Express your pleasure towards God. Exalt him. See, loud noise. God was in the camp, in the Jewish camp. And how people are going to know that God is in our camp? Because the noise is in the camp. You know, those people are there in the Old Testament, they were afraid because they heard the noise in the camp, and they know they were afraid because that was God who was in the camp. And you know, Satan, we tremble. You know, when the weakest Christian goes down to his knee to praise him and to worship him, because he knows, he hear noises. And sometimes he don't understand the noises, but he's scared of the noises. You want to scare Satan? Start praising the Lord. Worship the Lord in the morning. Get up and give him a heart attack. Amen. You know, don't wait for him to give you one. Get up in the morning and wake him up. And shout to the Lord in the mornings. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. Thank you. I went outside and saw a little bird out there in the wood there, and I singing, and I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the song. Thank you for your goodness in my life. Thank you for providing for me. Thank you for healing my body. Thank you, Father. You know, shout it to the top of your lungs so Satan will know that the shout of is in the camp, of the Lord is in the camp. It says, for the Holy One is in the midst of thee. See? Cry out. Express your joy. Express your pleasure, you know, by singing, by a clear, loud sounds of the voice, where the people of God are called to exalt Him, to shout, to make noise as expressive of their joy. See? Sometimes laughed aloud, you know? You are so happy that everybody can hear that you are happy. You should come to church and we should hear the voices of people that are happy, for people that are satisfied, people that are happy that God has come to their life and He's taking care. My friend, God is great. In fact, He's great in me that He's the one outside. So what's the problem if He's the greatest one? Let Satan puff and huff like the three pigs. I said that's the story that is always in my mind. The three pigs and the wolf. Let him huff. Let him puff. You know, just stand there and just laugh at him. That's all. He will have to go. Great, worthy. He's worthy of our praises. Thank you for the wonderful deliverance in the midst. Oh, people are sick. It's nice to see Sister Julie. You know. People that have been sick, God never forsake you. He's always with you. And He's always deliver the afflicted. He always care about His people. And we should just come to church and express our gratitude by singing beautiful, by praising Him, by worshiping. Because He's worthy of our praises. Let me finish this. You can stand. God is worthy to be sung. God is worthy to be praised. Oh. And the redeemed will say so. See? That's why you're here, because the redeemed will say so. Amen. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of His glory, this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, it is the hope of glorification, the hope of change. You have a hope, not that the world give it, but that God give you a hope. Psalm 47:1, oh, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God, with the voice of triumph. It's victory. That's the reason we come to church, to celebrate the victory, what God has done in our life through the whole week. We're not coming to see what we can get. We're coming to give to Him all the exaltation, because God has been good to us. Sometimes, you know, like I said, sometimes you don't find your... Sometimes people sing and they just like this. I don't understand. Maybe I need to pray. Why will you raise your hands? Why will you clap to give thanks, to glorify the Lord for all the things that He has done in your life? He didn't have to do it. For the Holy One of Israel, who is great in the midst of thee, how should then do otherwise than well? If God is here with us, what else can you expect but well, being well? If God is with you, Brother Henry, how can you expect nothing less than being well? How can you expect to be healed? If God is in you, how can you expect nothing less than being healed? If God is in you, how can you expect anything less than being happy? Even in the worst situation, you can praise the Lord and be happy. How can you expect less of God that is in you when He has given you everything, even life? Amen. Let the Redeemer of Jehovah say so tonight. May the inhabitants of Zion cry out and shout and proclaim the greatness of her Redeemer tonight. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you once again, God, because you have shown us how great and worthy you are of praises. How wonderful. Father, it's your deliverance throughout. For you are the Holy One of Israel. And you are great. And you are in the midst of your people right now. Your presence is here. Oh God, your people will speak the greatness of your mercy. Father, we cry out aloud. We shout because the greatness of the Holy One of Israel. Father, because you are our salvation. You are our son. You put a son in our hearts, Father. And we sing because what you have done for us, Father. We are happy tonight. And we are here to draw from the waters, from that well of salvation tonight. Because I know you desire tonight to do a work and to finish a work that you started on your people. Father, we love you and we thank you for this moment, Father. And we love you. And we ask you to forgive us. Because sometimes we just don't understand why we do the things we do. But Father, thank you because you are not here to destroy us. You are not mad at us. You are not angry. Just like a loving Father, you want us to come to the knowledge of your truth, of your word. And the more we know you, the more happy and the more joy is in our life, the more our souls are satisfied. Father, thank you again. And we ask you to have your way in your people. Father, those that are afflicted, those that are sick, those that are hearing right now and streaming, Father, in the name of Jesus, you don't have to be that way. Because he paid the price. By his stripes we were. Now we are going to be. We are healed. You already paid for it. If you come over here right now and you come through those doors, there's nothing else you can do for us. You already paid the price. You already done it 2,000 years ago. We just need to claim it. Father, we thank you again for your presence here tonight. Thank you for being with us. Father, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you, Lord, for blessing your people. Father, now as we go back to our places, take us safe and sound, Father. Father, and let us tomorrow when we wake up just praise you and worship you. And throughout the day, let's talk about the greatness, the goodness. Let's continue showing to the world that this is a reality. This is not a fantasy or a story. This is real. God is real. And we want to show the world, and that's the only way they're going to see it, through us, Father. When we go out there, Father, let the world know that God is good, that God is great. God is my Savior forever and ever. Amen and amen. Worthy, oh Lord, let's sing that again. Come on, I'm worthy. Yes, thou shout to the Lord, he's worthy. Lift your hands to him, lift your heart to God. Yes, let him receive all the glory. We say glory, glory, glory. Pleasure.
Yes. Glory to God. Thou art worthy. Praise them. Again. Yes, God. Do you believe that? He's worthy of your praises. He's worthy.